The views expressed on this show by guests and the host on issues outside of the 9/11 controlled demolition evidence are the opinions of those individuals alone and do not necessarily reflect those of architects and engineers for 9/11 truth.
Welcome to 9/11 Freefall. I'm the host, Andy Steele. Today we're joined again by Craig McKee. Craig has been a journalist in Montreal for over 30 years, and he is the writer at Truth and Shadows. I love having Craig on and getting his perspective, and it's a great time to catch up because so much is going on in 9/11 Truth and in our overall world. So let's hear what Craig has to say about these things. Craig, welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot, Andy. Thanks for having me back.
All right, so let's talk about some of the developments in our world of 9/11 truth since we spoke last. And, of course, we have released a new movie. It's called Seven. We've been talking about it for a long time. It's finally here, and it's finally out there. It's on Amazon Prime, and it's on other places, too. Hard to keep track of everywhere it goes, but 1091 Media is doing a good job of promoting it. And it's getting really good reviews from what I've seen. So a lot of people are very impressed. Let's hear your take on that film.
Well, I think that people are impressed with good reason. I saw the film before it was out, sort of working with you guys. And certainly the first thing that comes across is that it's so professionally put together, which is seems like you wouldn't normally, you know, make that point about a documentary. But you know, a lot of the videos that we're used to seeing about 9/11 truths on the internet over the years are ones that people have just kind of made in their computers and using footage from other, often from other documentaries. So to have something that really looks like a first-rate, professional quality documentary is something a little bit new, I think, for the 9/11 truth movement. So that jumps out right away. It's just so well shot, and the interviews are very interesting. And I think it's also a film that might help us with new people. People inside the movement will certainly get a perspective and some detail about what we're doing about Building 7 and about the Hulsey study that was done, University of Alaska Fairbanks study that took 4 years, where Professor Hulsey proved that fire could not have brought about the results with Building 7 that we saw, which entirely invalidates what NIST has tried to peddle to us. So it goes naturally together with what AE is doing with the request for correction, which I'm sure we will mention as well, that we're doing basically where we approach NIST and show them areas where their report is blatantly false and challenge them to correct these things. And then, of course, so far they've refused to change anything, predictably. But if the whole process plays out and they maintain that position, then of course we have the opportunity to pursue them legally. So that's pretty exciting too. But Seven I mentioned new people. I think because it introduces some of the reasons why the official account can't be true. It might just cause new people to have some second thoughts and maybe want to explore the issue a little more than they have. So, I think Dylan Avery did a great job, and he was ably aided by Kelly David, the COO of AE 9/11 Truth. She was the producer, one of the producers, but I think she was the one most on-hands one. And she went along with Dylan to Alaska to interview Dr. Hulsey and others. So I think it's a terrific introduction to Building 7, and I hope that it gets seen by as many people as possible. I mean, you mentioned 1091. That was a really important connection that AE made with that distributor. It gives us the opportunity to get this film to people who otherwise would not have a chance to see it. And of course, we're hopeful that ultimately that this will get on a free streaming service like Netflix, which would be just a huge thing for 9/11 Truth to get a film like this, something that directly challenges the official story, to get that onto a service like Netflix where millions of people potentially could see it. that would just be a huge step forward.
Right on. I completely agree. And one of the most virtuous things that I feel about AE 911 Truth, other than the fact that it's just a group of professionals that are taking on the powers that be on one of the most important issues in our century, and a very unpopular one. It's increasing in popularity, I believe, on the street level. You don't see it on television, of course. But to take on this issue, that's, of course, an obvious virtue. But another virtue is the fact that we have stayed so focused on the science of the building destructions over the years. We haven't gotten diverted into whatever flavor of the week issue gets brought up. Every month there's something new that's jerking people's chains and taking the spotlight, but we stay focused on this. And to see the movement go from what it was, people doing that guerrilla activism, making videos on their own, you know, with whatever limited skills they had, you know, sometimes building on them. But to see it go from that to this more mainstream production, and typically I don't trust mainstream productions, but I've been here behind the scenes seeing people involved and all the work that went into it, and this is a feather in the cap for the entire movement. And to get on something like Amazon Prime is a big accomplishment, because I got Amazon Prime, I watch a lot of stuff off of there. So this is good, and we are just continuing to move forward, and despite whatever is going on in the world right now, I think this issue is going to come up into the forefront when some of the dust settles from things that are distracting people right now. Now, I want to talk a little bit about some of the developments in our world and how that relates to 9/11 Truth. The system, from what I see, is trying to clamp down and control not just 9/11 Truth. I talk about that because that's the focus of this show, but they're trying to control what everyone thinks. I mean, it's a control freak system. If you think one way, you're canceled. If you don't go to toe the company line on just about anything now, they're looking for some excuse to shut you down. Right now, their focus is on other things, but you know, you see it happening with 9/11 Truth as well, where they're starting to put age restrictions on 9/11 Truth. Apparently, hearing the facts of 9/11, you have to be over a certain age, like it's an R-rated movie or something. Now, do you think that this blatant censorship will succeed, or do you think that people are seeing through it and that it actually works in our favor?
That's an interesting question, because I wonder if a bit of both might be the answer. But I mean, I can draw on my own experience, you know, a little bit. Which I've talked about on this show before, but when my own website, before my website got deleted by WordPress in 2018, about a year and a half before that, Google changed its algorithm, and I noticed a dramatic drop in traffic to my website. Articles that had been very high up in Google searches. I actually had one 9/11 Pentagon article that was actually on page one of Google for that search, which I think is quite, you know, quite remarkable when you consider, you know, how many things have been written about that. But of course, as soon as Google changed its algorithm, that was gone, and nobody will ever find it, you know, on page 15 or wherever. So the censorship goes back certainly years, and actually I wrote about the whole subject of censorship and how it affects AE 9/11 Truth in an article recently that's on the AE site. I think it's bringing a lot of awareness, which I think is all positive. People are starting to realize that freedom of speech is being infringed on, and that how people think is kind of being molded. You know, perceptions are being molded by these large tech firms, and really they're you know, as always happens with this kind of thing, of course, there has to be a false premise given. That's actually how, you know, most wars start. So it's kind of the same principle. You have to make people think that there's something, a problem that needs to be solved, and that they then are going to come in with the solution. So the problem is fake news or, you know, misinformation about this subject or that subject. And you know, under that umbrella, you can get just about everything that you want to get rid of. I know when I started to notice back in, I think about 2015, I started to notice all these flat earth posts popping up on Facebook. And I remember thinking at the time, like, why is this suddenly appearing here? And, you know, to make a long story short, I saw that there was quite a proliferation in a very short period of time, including, you know, videos that seemed to be very well produced and have a lot of production value, despite what they were saying. And I thought to myself, what could be the reason for this, other than coincidence? And I thought, you know, I bet you that they're trying to promote this so that they can later come back and lump, sort of connect flat earth people with conspiracy theorists in general. And I think, sure enough, that's exactly what has played out. So, you know, there are all kinds of ways that freedom of speech can be restricted without it seeming to be just simply direct closing people down. So I think there is a lot of positive understanding that's coming from this, but having it actually lead to more speech in the long run, more free speech, that's a bit more of a challenge, because I know that there are a lot of people who are moving to, you know, away from the big platforms like Facebook and YouTube and going to other platforms. And I think that's great, but it's going to take a while before those platforms, you know, have the size to really make a big difference, you know, and people are going to be hesitant to leave the main platforms unless there's a, you know, enough of their friends can be found on the others. So, you know, maybe in the long term, we can see benefits from it, I think. But I think it'll take a while.
And this is why 9/11 is so important. I mean, at least to me. Obviously, not everyone's going to have the same experiences and observations that I have. But just from these two eyes, what I have seen is this escalation of so many means of control since that day. I think I was talking to you yesterday, Craig, or somebody, and I said that back before 9/11, you didn't have these world events that would affect you right in your home. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, we had Ollie North and the whole Iran-Contra thing. You know, the only way it affected me was the cartoons weren't on because it was this army guy that you were constantly watching on television. But, you know, it wasn't coming into your house and saying that we all have to sacrifice something in the name of the greater good. It wasn't treating America like it was this big high school and we all have to attend a pep rally every day. That's what it feels like, and you can't get away from it. And all that started with September 11th when they said, well, we all have to make a shared sacrifice and start losing some of our liberties. And most of us, after we had watched these towers come down, we weren't aware of controlled demolition evidence or any questions about the official story. We said, oh, that's reasonable because of all the crazy stuff we just witnessed. So we went along. We wanted to be reasonable people in the name of this bigger threat. But it just got more increasing. And, you know, from what I see happening now, I mean, it's gotten to the point where you just can't get away from it, you know, where they're starting to talk about mandates that I don't think that they have any right to be mandating. And it all started on that day, September 11th. So that's why that issue is so important. It awakens so many folks. And regarding, you know, people talking, I mean, I see crazy things being promoted, but there were always crazy things being promoted by somebody somewhere in history. I mean, there were certain shows that you could turn on in the middle of the night and you'd be hearing people say the most outlandish, fantastical stuff that they'll never be able to prove. And the planet continued to spin. Now, some people might believe it, some people would laugh at it, but it didn't be construed as some kind of national security threat or some kind of threat to the minds of everyone out there. But nobody tried so hard to control what you think about everything. Now, the people who don't like what we're doing are going to say that, oh, because we're talking about this and people are believing us, it constitutes some kind of threat to the security of the United States or even of the world. But why is me talking about this such a threat to you? If there really is nothing to what we are saying, then why do you expect people to just believe it? Why wouldn't they just take the other side's attitude and say that it's crazy? Now, the thing is, I don't try to force what I think on any other people. I simply do this show, and I do my work with AE. We educate others and try to persuade them, but I don't try to force anybody to agree with me. I don't try to have anyone canceled as a result of them not agreeing with controlled demolition evidence. The other side, in so many different theaters, has taken the opposite approach, the more fascist approach, saying these people should not exist. They shouldn't be out there on the internet. They need to be shut down in every way possible. And of course, diversity makes everything better. This has been demonstrated in industry time and time again. I mean, competition it sparks great innovations and great products because they're always trying to one-up each other. You know, Pepsi and Coke, for instance, try to get the edge on each other so you just end up with better things more and more. Now, I don't know how much you can do with soda. I'm talking in general here, electronics and whatnot. Whenever there's a monopoly on something, quality of the product goes down, and also more control over the people. So, you know, if we want to put something in your computer that monitors you or listens to you, a microphone, you know, what are you going to do about it? Because you need to have a computer in this modern age. You know, if Windows wants to do something that tracks you, and I don't understand how all that computer stuff works, but if it puts something in there that keeps track of your online activity or whatnot, what are you going to do? Because, you know, you only have a choice of two things, Windows or Mac, as far as I know, and they're both doing the same thing. You're kind of left out in the lurch, unless you have a job where you're not using a computer, which is fewer and fewer these days. Maybe you have to go be a lumberjack or something. But competition is what sparks freedom and innovation, and we've expanded onto these different platforms. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more, Craig, in terms of where we have gone with our message into different social networks and video streaming services?
Yeah, well, I mean, this again, comes out of the article that I did. We now have a presence, AE911Truth now has a presence on different social media sites, one being Parler, another being BitChute, another one called Library. And I have not become an expert on any of these just yet. I've sort of looked at them, and one thing that they seem to offer is a lot less direct censorship. You know, you never know what the future will bring. Facebook didn't have a lot of censorship at one time too. So, you know, so one hopes that if there's more freedom on these platforms, that it stays that way. And, you know, some may question us having a presence on a platform like Parler. It has a certain reputation of being where a lot of, you know, Republicans go, and I guess probably the reputation is that a lot of supporters of Donald Trump use that particular platform. But, I don't see that as a problem personally. I don't see being there as a problem. I mean, it's a platform, it's a forum, and I think we should be wherever we can be to reach people. And if more people go, then there will be more diversity of opinion. So I don't particularly agree with those who say that this is not a good thing to be associated with a particular platform. I think that we should be in lots of places and take our message to lots of places. And, you know, who knows who we will reach in those places. I remember several years back, I think probably like 8 years ago, going almost 9 years ago, when AE911Truth's founder, Richard Gage, spoke before the Convention of the Nation of Islam. So there were some, you know, there were people who thought, well, because of this or that, it's not right to be associated with that particular group. I remember writing a piece for my blog back then, praising Richard for doing it, because it was a huge audience, and it was an opportunity to reach those people. And that particular group was pretty open to have Richard there. Richard and I believe Kevin Ryan also, the two of them spoke. And we shouldn't be sort of scrutinizing everything that a particular group has said just to see, well, are they worthy of us or not? I mean, within reason, there obviously are going to be exceptions to that. But it was a great opportunity to reach a completely new group of people. So I kind of think, you know, when we limit ourselves, we hurt ourselves, I think. So I just joined one new platform called MeWe. I assume that's how it's pronounced, because a friend of mine has moved over there, and I guess he's got some negative things to say about Facebook, so he was urging people to go. So I thought, I'll just join up and see how it goes. And it's kind of laid out in a similar way to Facebook, but I only have two friends there at the moment, so it will take some time before that becomes a useful place for me to post things. Well, I mean, it'll take posting them, I guess, and then it becomes useful, because right now I guess only two people would see it. So this is why these switching over, you know, there's a process that we have to go through, I guess, too, for these things to become, you know, really as useful as the big ones have been. And I know I read an article, actually. I was doing a little Googling about this, or let's just say searching on the internet about this today, and came across a Washington Post article that pointed out that one of the things that is keeping a lot of people on Facebook, and something that Facebook has been promoting for the last, you know, two or three years, is, you know, are there groups, basically. And so a lot of people don't mind leaving Facebook, but they don't want to leave all the groups that they're involved in, because you can't just sort of recreate the group somewhere else. You have to kind of start from scratch. So it's like Facebook is aware that, you know, there's this danger of people leaking out to other platforms, and so they're kind of emphasizing things that'll keep people in place. So, yeah, I don't know if that answered the question or not, but I just think that you know, diversity. I agree with your point that diversity of opinion is a positive thing. It shouldn't be seen as a negative thing, and I think we should have faith in people's ability to discern for themselves whether something that they're listening to is something that they want to listen to. If you come across something that you think is you know, negative or you know, bigoted or whatever, well then, you know, don't look at that anymore, I guess. Don't if you don't like a particular writer, don't read that writer. It puts a little more responsibility on people. Well, to be responsible for their actions, you know, and not just sort of have somebody in some, you know, high place determine for them what is fake news. And we know that the mainstream media have, well, they've just labeled things that way that are anything but. I mean, they just, you know, absolutely can't be trusted on this subject. So, you know, it's something we have to all do for ourselves. And we have to recognize that when big platforms are restricting freedom of speech, I mean, I've had friends who say, well, you know, they're a private company and they have every right to do that. As if that's the whole question. You know, do they legally have the right to do it? And I try to come back to them and say, whether they could go to a court and have their censorship upheld or not, it's not really the point. The point is that what they're doing is wrong. It's funny how people will end up kind of siding with the huge tyrannical tech giants over really the needs of regular people, just because, I don't know, it's the message has been kind of drummed into them. I don't know, but... to me, it's people should take responsibility for judging for themselves what they want to read and what they don't want to read.
Well, and what you're saying is absolutely true. I mean, profoundly true. And a little over 20 years ago would have just been common sense. Anyone listening to this would have just said, yeah, of course, no duh. But again, what we have seen, and I don't know what happened here, because we went from a society when you would try to talk to people about 9/11, which I consider to be an important issue because obviously 3,000 people died. You don't want to just let that go when you have evidence that we were lied to about how it happened. But you went from a society of people largely giggling at their cell phones, proudly proclaiming how they don't care about anything going on in the world, and then, I don't know, around 2015 or something, a switch was flipped and people suddenly became so politically active that they just can't let it go at any moment in their life. I don't see it as any different than religious fanaticism, where you cannot even go to work and just do a job without having this somehow bleed into your existence, and you don't want to associate with those other people because they're worshiping a pagan god, those heathens over there, you know, because they just happen to disagree with you on what they believe. The same kind of mentality surrounding it. It's just lack of tolerance. Honestly, I think everyone needs to just leave each other alone. That's what freedom is all about. If somebody wants to live a certain way somewhere else, you know, in their own property, their own house, by all means, let them do it. And then people will come together in their own little groups, and as long as they don't go attack each other, then everything is fine. You know, freedom means thinking however you want, saying whatever you want, and being left alone. And we're losing that now here, and not associating with someone because they happen to be on the other side of this ginned up political debate. I mean, you're losing the opportunity to reach out to half of the country. You know, what is that, like 150 million people? You don't want 9/11 Truth to get to those 150 million people? By that logic, no 9/11 Truther would have ever gone on Fox News back during the Bush years. By that logic, we wouldn't have had the C-SPAN campaign or Richard going on C-SPAN to talk for 40 minutes and becoming the number one interview on that program, because those hosts were, I mean, beyond snarky when people would call in and mention 9/11 in the years previous to it. Just outright, I mean, they're supposed to be neutral, but they would, you know, make fun of them and dismiss them and cut them off and things. I mean, by that logic, you know, because we don't like those people, we're going to pass up an opportunity to get out to that audience. That is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And I don't have any tolerance for that. Craig, thank you for all that you do, and thanks for coming on 9/11 Freefall today.
Glad to be with you, Andy. Thanks.
How about the 9/11 Commission, which was tasked with giving us the fullest explanation? No. Not one sentence in the 571 pages of the 9/11 Commission report even mentions the destruction of World Trade Center 7. Is this one of the reasons, perhaps, that Senator Max Cleland resigns from the commission, citing it's a national scandal, the investigation is compromised? How about expert corroboration? How about Danny Juwenko, 27-year controlled demolitions expert? It starts from below. They've simply blown away the columns. It's controlled demolition. A team of experts did this. It's professional work, without a doubt. How about Hugo Bachmann, Professor Emeritus, Chairman, Department of Structural Dynamics at Earthquake Engineering, Swiss Federal Institute of Technology? In my opinion, the building, World Trade Center 7, was with great probability professionally demolished. Seven. Now, to bring a building smoothly, symmetrically into its own footprint without falling over, what we have to do is remove the core columns, because what we want to do is bring the outside of the building in on itself. Now, this involves a high degree of precision that fire is not capable of, being an organic process.
This program is on every Thursday night on No Lies Radio at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific, and every other Sunday night on BBS Radio at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. You can also keep track of the archives by going to 911freefall.com. This is Andy Steele. So have a great week. Good luck.